You are listening to a programme from BBC Radio 4.
Welcome to Sunday. An all-party group of MPs and peers wants the government to make religious freedom a foreign policy priority. 80% of the world's population live in countries with a high or very high level of restrictions on and or hostilities towards certain beliefs. So says the All-Party Parliamentary Group for International Freedom of Religion or Belief in a report which comes out this coming week to mark International Freedom of Religion or Belief Day. The Tory peer Elizabeth Berridge is the committee's co-chair, and I asked her about that figure of 80%.
Yes, that's a figure based on the Pew Research work in America. And it's because some of the largest countries in the world obviously have these problems. So once you put China and India, so then it's 80% of the world's population. So yes, it is quite startling, but yes, it's unfortunately the case.
Do you think the British Foreign Office takes sufficient account of the issue?
Yes, on the whole, they have made enormous progress since we published our previous report. We have a Minister of State in Lord Ahmed who really wants to make a difference in this area and to really put his full weight of his time in office behind this. But we still want to see leadership really right from the very top. If one looks at the leadership of the former Foreign Secretary William Hague, along with, of course, Angelina Jolie, taking an issue like preventing sexual violence in conflict, when you have leadership at that level, it makes enormous difference, and that's what we want to see it go even further up the priority list at the Foreign Office.
Obviously, you would want the government to protest about cases where people are persecuted or attacked because of their religion or beliefs. But it sounds as if you want something rather beyond that, as if you want this strand woven into foreign policy more generally.
Yes, we want to see the causes that come up in different countries be worked into proper policies so that we can do some more preventative work. So if one takes the issue of the Rohingya Muslims, which most listeners will probably be aware of, which is rolling on the news actually this very day, much more potentially could have been done preventatively, because this has been an issue going on ever since independence in Myanmar of the Buddhist majority and the minority Muslim community. But we do also want to see it as a priority through the Department for International Development, because then you can also work on development programming that builds religious tolerance in communities and can nip some of this stuff in the bud.
Have we not been doing that anyway? You would have imagined when we gave aid or development money to a country, we would have required that it's spent in a way that doesn't involve persecuting groups.
We do track the money, but what we've asked for is auditing and tracking at a greater level of detail. But for the first time, only about 3 months ago, was there a pot of money issued by the department that had freedom of religion or belief as a priority or a theme. So, for instance, pots of money that have been spent on gender or anti-slavery, etc., or preventing sexual violence in conflict. So this is the first time we've seen it. So we do want to see it mainstreamed, to use the jargon, within the department, because there is so much that can be done through development that can build cohesion in those communities.
I suppose that slightly takes me back to my first question about whether the government takes it seriously enough in your view, because what you describe is recognisably the product of a secular society and one which doesn't itself take religion perhaps terribly seriously, and that feeding through into the way its policies are drawn up.
Yes, I think the report, one of the recommendations, is about the level of religious literacy of the staff in embassies around the world. Yes, so we have been slow to cotton on to the role of religion in all kinds of ways, the role of religion in education and development, but also the role of religion as sometimes a driver for conflict and a driver in peace building. So yes, we have been behind the curve because, as has been said, you know, we are Western European exceptionalism here. The rest of the world is intensely religious, and we don't necessarily always, in terms of policy or in terms of the people who are employed by the civil service, know enough about religion to understand its role in the world.
Do you think we are in any way hampered in this area by the fact that we are unusually a country in which still has an established church and which, I suppose you could argue, still discriminates on a religious basis in the sense that only a member of the established church can be the head of state?
I've actually found it, when I deal with international colleagues, a really interesting example to use positively, because many people fear that actually if you take religion out of the state and you don't want a theocracy, you end up with America, where it's the complete separation of the state and religion, and they want religion involved. So we actually have quite an interesting model where there is a connection between an organised religion and the state, but there is still pluralism. And that are often people who are very religious, my colleagues overseas who are very religious, villages like that model and can see that actually you can have a state alignment, but that doesn't mean that you can't have pluralism at the same time.
Baroness Berridge, and that is it for this week's Sunday. Do email us, sunday@bbc.co.uk. Emily Buchanan will be in this chair next weekend. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.